This is Greater LA on KCRW, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Welcome. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Water, H2O, the stuff we all depend on for life. And these days, at least here in the West, there's not near enough of it dropping from the sky. Southern California has always been dependent on water from other places. Northern California, the Sierra Nevada snowpack, the Colorado River. Well, one of the agencies tasked with making that happen is the Metropolitan Water District, the MWD. Nearly 19 million people across Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, San Bernardino, San Diego, and Ventura counties depend on it, the MWD, for at least some of their water supply. The district headquarters is in downtown Los Angeles near Union Station. Hundreds of workers there have a new boss, a new incoming leader, and his name is Adel Haj Khalil. He's the outgoing head of LA's Bureau of Street Services. Before that, he was second in command at the city's sanitation department. And Adel Haj Khalil is with us right now. Sir, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
I want to start with you and a little explanation of what the MWD does. You all provide billions of gallons of water, right? And sort of you harness it from all these different places. Tell us a little bit about those places, those sources of water, and what's involved in getting all that water here.
Sure. First of all, thank you for having me. You know, water is life, like you said. And over the last 100 years, Metropolitan Water District has been here through 100 years. This is the first century. And we've really worked hard in the beginning to bring water from across long distance, from the Bay Delta down, working with the state of California, also from the Colorado all the way down here. And that has served us well for many, many years. But in recent droughts, we've seen a lot of droughts over the years. Our member agencies, our partners, our residents in Southern California have adapted well into a behavior of water conservation. By the way, a lot of people don't know that the same water we're using today is less than the amount of water we're using 30 years ago. So we're doing very good in terms of water conservation. And we need to continue. So I ask people to continue working. I thank them for the work they're doing. But we're seeing a shrinking water supply coming down. And because of the drought, because of competing interest to balance an environment and water supply. And our member agencies, starting with Orange County, San Diego, LA, Eastern, Inland Empire, all of them have been working hard on increasing local water supply, whether it's recycled water, whether it's groundwater recharge, remediation of groundwater, and they've done good jobs. So over the last history, our history started with by importing water from the Colorado River and from the bringing water with the state from the Bay Delta in Northern California. But really, right now, we want to be a diverse agency that really ensures that we have resilient, reliable water supply for the future. We need to start a journey of the next 100 years. What worked for us the last 100 years was great, but what we need is a fresh look. And the fresh look's not going to look the same. It's not going to be just about importing water. It's going to be addition to importing water. It's going to be about local water supply, stormwater capture, all the above.
Well, part of the reason why what worked in the last 100 years won't necessarily work for the next 100 years is because the issue of water, sir, is so contentious, especially in a drought that seems to be getting worse and worse, at least with less rainfall or more extreme storms with climate change. So I wonder, let's touch on what you mentioned, capturing stormwater, because a lot of people will say not enough is done to capture the stormwater. I want to talk to you about how you do that and how does MWD help in that effort? Because you guys aren't the ones necessarily responsible for the capture itself, right?
Sure. Exactly, and we're not responsible for the stormwater capture, but MWD also invests in the member agencies and our partners in creating local water supply. So we really help in funding projects like the groundwater recharge in Orange County for recycled water, whether it's Pure Water San Diego or some of the works being done in the Inland Empire. To me, water is one water, and to me, this is the shift So I want to bring the shift to Metropolitan to not just be an imported water agency, to be the agency to ensure that we have a diverse water portfolio. And one of them is stormwater, as we say, although above is part of that one water concept. And so, for example, Orange County have done a good job in building dams along the Santa Ana River to capture water and infiltrate that water in the ground. Our partners in LA County has done a great job in with LA City in building groundwater recharge basins, and whether it's the in the Hanson Dam area or other places. LA and the airport, LAX, had just finished a project by LAX. It's a stormwater project that's going to capture water from the area around the airport in the west side, and it's going to treat it and infiltrate that into the ground and reuse it. But we're not going to just focus on one thing. I want to focus on every component of one water, create a diverse portfolio, because as we know, fluctuating conditions are happening. Right now, we see a stress on our imported water on the Colorado and the Bay Delta. Also, what we need to figure out is how can we be ready? So it's going to be a combination of everything. And I want to partner with the member agency. I want to partner with our stakeholders, with the environmental community, but also partner with our state, the governor and the governor's office, and our Department of Water Resources, and everyone, to create a coordinated water strategy for California. Because everything we do in Southern California here has a huge impact.
It sounds all nice and, you know, kumbaya. It sounds like, we're really going to get underway with this, and we're going to capture storm. You're getting criticism about sewage and making, you know, sewage into potable water. Yeah. You know, your appointment to the MWD came after a very close vote on the board. The directors who opposed your nomination said you don't have enough experience in Western water politics. Sure. And I wonder, you know, you're required, you know, on behalf of 19 million people in Southern California to negotiate over diminishing supplies from the Colorado, you mentioned, the Bay Delta, the Sierra Nevada snowpack. They say you have a very steep learning curve, the people who opposed your nomination. What is your response to those concerns that maybe we need someone with a little more experience, with a little more knowledge of the issues at hand?
So I would say what's needed right now in Southern California at the helm of Metropolitan is a leader that can bring people together. What I'm going to focus on is what's united us. We cannot negotiate on the Colorado or on the Bay Delta without being together. And in terms of experience, I have 32 years of experience when it comes to water. I lived my life working on water, but to me, I'm not a single purpose general manager. I'm going to be a general manager who's going to look for every opportunity, all the above, to be prepared. So to me, and actually it's an advantage to have somebody with a fresh look. But a lot of people don't know that in 2016, I was the president of the National Association of Clean Water Agencies, representing water agencies across the U.S. But really, I'm going to be the executive over the CEO of a large agency, relying on the great people that we have. We have the best experts in Metropolitan. We have the best partners. And I'm going to tap into whatever it takes for me to protect the interest, to protect the interest of Metropolitan.
You certainly have your work cut out for you. So you're coming from the Sanitation Bureau, where there were a couple of lawsuits that have come to light. One's a sexual harassment claim that has nothing to do, I don't believe, with you personally, but something at the department. And another that accuses you of systemic anti-Chicano racist promotional practices and policies. What do you have anything to say about that before you jump ship and move to another department?
Sure. And as the last, and that was during sanitation. I'll tell you, last 3 years, when the mayor tapped me to come into street services, he tapped into me to, because of my history of bringing people together, creating a healthy work environment, and working on improving the quality of the work conditions. So last 3 years when I was in Streets LA, I was able to transform a department that was that lacked empowerment, that basically was dysfunctional in a way. Employees did not feel belonging. And I was able to come and use all the skills I've learned of how to empower staff, how to listen to staff. And we created a department that's all about empowering and fairness, and the staff are excited.
If I may break in, it's a serious accusation, though. Systematic anti-Chicano racist promotional practices, sure, and policies. That's according to the lawsuit. And what do you directly say to that?
It's meritless. I'll tell you what I'm going to say is it's being defended by the city attorney. I am a person who is an immigrant. I believe in the ability of every minority to have a voice, and my track record is about doing that. Every person in power, every now and then when somebody has a disagreement over an issue or they are being investigated for a complaint about them, they will file a lawsuit or will do anything to get in the way. But I'm not in the matter right now to educate this or to address this in terms of the merits of the case that's being dealt by the city attorney. But I will assure you that my history and my culture and what people speak to, this lawsuit is meritless. This lawsuit does not represent who I am. And that thing is being addressed by the city attorney. So I want to tell everyone, throughout my career and my history is about bringing people together. Last 3 years, when I was the head of street services, I transformed that department to a place where everybody feels that they belong, that it was a fair, I created a fair place, empowered place. And the staff right now, which is to me is so rewarding to hear, when I decided to move to Metropolitan, they all felt and thanked me for coming in and saving that department and making it into an inclusive, welcoming place into the place. This is who I am. This is what I can bring. And my goal is to do the same thing at Metropolitan.
Adel Haj Khalil, incoming general manager of the Metropolitan Water District. You take over July 6th. I want to wish you luck, sir, in your new job. We certainly look forward to talking to you again. Thank you so much.
I'd love to. Thank you, Steve.
Well, Sammy Roth covers energy for the LA Times. He's been covering the, quote, bitter power struggle that led to the hiring of Adel Haj Khalil, and he joins me right now. Hey, Sammy.
Hey, Steve.
So you just heard, he said he's the one to bring people together. And of course, he's not going to admit any anti-Chicano policies. Nobody wants to admit something like that. But what does it say about going forward in this new role?
Well, I mean, as you said, it was a bitter process to get this job, and frankly, I don't know that was on Adel necessarily that it was so bitter. I mean, he kind of got swept up in this, power struggle between these different factions. He was the candidate who was put into the ring, with the support of Mayor Garcetti in Los Angeles and of Garcetti's appointees on the Metropolitan Board, and San Diego, the other major power center on Metropolitan, came out swinging for him. So it was, it was kind of this fight with, LA and San Diego against, Orange County and some of the other players in Metropolitan. And so the fact that it was so bitter and that ultimately, close to half the board, wouldn't put their votes forward for him, I don't know how much of that can really be attributed to him versus just the situation he was thrown into. One thing that I would say about the lawsuits is that, on the one hand, you did have these accusations that were getting leveled by a former employees of his. You also had the union SEIU that represents more than 10,000 city workers in Los Angeles, including many who worked in his agencies, sent a letter to Metropolitan calling him an exemplary leader and saying that he had quote worked to bring a culture of inclusion, respect, and fairness to the agencies that he ran. So I reported on those lawsuits, but at the same time, I don't know that I necessarily saw, a groundswell of people coming out and saying negative things about him. In fact, there was a lot of support that came into him from different sources in Los Angeles.
Talk about some of the factions. I mean, that's the politics of this, right? LA was backing him, but other places were not. Is this a progressive conservative thing? Is this a different ideology thing? Republican, Democrat? Yeah, I mean, where does this, where's the line?
Yeah, I don't know that it lines up quite along, traditional sort of liberal versus conservative politics. I mean, L.A. under Garcetti has been, really pushing strongly in the direction of local water resources. So this is what Adele was talking about a few minutes ago. I mean, more reliance on capturing stormwater and recharging groundwater aquifers and recycling and using less. And I mean, part of the motivation for that, I mean, the big motivation for that has just been climate change and the fact that the Colorado and these Northern California rivers that we rely on so heavily are just becoming, less reliable and more heavily contested. I mean, we're getting worsening and longer droughts. We're getting more and more people all over the West kind of fighting to use their full share of these water sources. So there's been this push in LA, and San Diego has been doing its own version of this. I mean, they've invested in seawater desalination down there, and they're also making really big investments in recycling their wastewater. So, reusing stuff that goes through our taps and then cleaning it up and using it again, which LA is doing as well. So there's been a real push in, those big urban centers. The folks in Orange County, I think, are just some of them are a little bit more traditional in the way they view water resources. I mean, they like us have sort of grown in the way that they have because of the availability of the Colorado River Aqueduct, the State Water Project.
He has to get things done, though, going forward. So no matter,
yeah.
I mean, if even it being a very close vote, is that going to
yeah.
hamper any progress that he makes? Or is he like at this stalemate where just to get things done or getting the votes on the board to do something, the stormwater capture or the other thing, the sewage to potable water stuff? I mean, is he going to be able to do any of that if there's this, there's this dichotomy?
Well, that's a really good question. So when the vote was initially taken by the board in closed session, which I reported on, there were two candidates. There were, Adel Hashkhalil, and he ended up getting, just over a majority. And then the second place candidate, finished just below a majority, was Pat Mulroy, the former head of the Southern Nevada Water Authority, who did a lot of interesting stuff in Las Vegas. When it came time for the final vote, when it was clear that Adel, had the majority and was going to win in the public vote, interestingly, most of the folks who had voted against him in closed session ended up abstaining. They a lot of them, made speeches before the vote and basically said, they couldn't, they didn't, he wasn't their preferred candidate. They had concerns about him, but at the same time, they didn't want to be on record voting no. They wanted to be on record, with the abstention, because they knew they were all going to have to work together, and they wanted to at least, provide some measure of compromise there. Is that going to make it easy for them to all work together and get things done? I don't know, but I think it reflected at least a recognition among those board members that this was going to be the guy in charge, and that they were going to have to work together on stuff. Another point, this dichotomy between, relying on these faraway water sources versus local stuff, it's all kind of a matter of degree. I mean, there's a recognition among just about everyone involved with this that we're still going to be pulling water from the Colorado and the rivers of, Northern California, the Sacramento, and also the San Joaquin in the Central Valley. We're going to be pulling on those sources for a long time, if not indefinitely. And there's also a recognition that we're going to be getting more stuff locally. And it's all kind of a question of just how quickly can that change, and how much can you do, how fast. So I do think there's going to be ground for folks to work together on this, even after this bitter contested vote. So that's my sense.
Sammy Roth covers energy for the LA Times. Sammy, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
This is Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. You may be headed to the polls this fall to decide whether or not to recall Governor Gavin Newsom. You know about that. But that's not all you may be voting on if you live in Orange County. At tomorrow's meeting, the OC Board of Supervisors is expected to discuss the possibility of putting on the ballot a measure that would extend term limits while also capping those terms for a lifetime. Critics say the proposal's language is steeped in political haze as a scheming way for some soups to stay on the board longer. LA Times columnist Gustavo Arellano is here to unpack all of this. It's KCRW's Orange County Line. Hey, Gustavo.
Hola, Steve.
How do the rules stand now, and how would what's being proposed change them?
Right now, as if you want to run for the Orange County Board of Supervisors and win, you could only do two consecutive terms. After that, you could take a timeout, then you could run again, but then after that, you cannot run anymore. So what's being proposed would say you could run three consecutive terms, 4 years, and each term, by the way, is 4 years, so 12 years in total, and then after that, you can never run ever again.
Which it like mirrors what we see in the state house, the state legislature, right? A lifetime term limit of 12 years.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Also, here in Orange County, Santa Ana, the county seat, that's what you also have in the city council. That's what you've been seeing, you know, ever since that rush to impose voter limits across California in the 1990s. You know, politicians, they don't like them. They know that the public wants term limits, but then they start pushing the envelope a little bit. Oh, just give us one more term because, you know, real politicians to really govern effectively, we just need a little bit more time, but then we'll get out. So right now it's three terms, eventually it'll be four terms, eventually it'll be lifetime appointments. Just watch.
Well, let's go through this because Supervisor Lisa Bartlett proposed this last year. It failed. Her second term ends next year. So if this does somehow, let's just say, let's play the future here. This gets approval on the board. This makes it to the ballot. And then voters say, hey, let's do this, right? Does Lisa Bartlett get three more terms then? Or how does that work? Because she's already served a couple of terms, right?
Oh, yeah. No, this is what eventually happens. So right now, Lisa, you know, and any other people who support it, they're like, oh, no, well, it's just one more term, you know, for 12 years. But then what you're going to see, and Lisa Bartlett hasn't said this publicly yet. You know, she's not saying, oh, I'm going to do 12 more years. But then the advocates will say, well, now actually the clock has reset. So now these people could run for 12 more years. So instead of 8 years in total, all of a sudden, what, you know, 8 to 12, that's 20. All of a sudden, you serve for 20 straight years. And this is something that politicians try again and again. Although I remember when they tried it in Santa Ana, this is a couple of years ago, the council member at the time, Claudia Alvarez, was arguing that as well. And I think the city clerk eventually said, no, you could only do one more term, but nice try.
Who else supports this? I mean, is this likely to pass? Is it likely to make it past the Board of Supervisors?
It's interesting because last year, Lisa Bartlett, who represents South Orange County, the wealthier part of Orange County, she proposed this and it went nowhere. At that point, the Board of Supervisors was 4-1 for Republicans. Now it's 3-2 Republicans. So the new vote here is going to be Katrina Foley. She said, she told the Voice of OC that she didn't know enough about the proposal to give any opinion about that at the time. So she might be an interesting vote because, you know, it still has to be a 3-2 majority, but Lisa's obviously pushing it. Don Wagner, who he said he's opposed to this particular proposal because he says it's misleading, that it somehow tightens term limits when it actually doesn't at all for Bartlett. But we'll find out tomorrow, I guess.
I mean, conservatives, you know, fellow Republicans, Don Wagner, Bartlett, the others, they control the OC Board of Supervisors 3-2, as you mentioned. Could this potentially help them remain in control a little longer, given the shift in county politics?
That's a fascinating perspective, because when the whole phenomenon about term limits happened in the 90s, of course, it was Republicans pushing it to try to get then Assembly Speaker Willie Brown out of power. And they thought, oh, you know, the voters will always support Republicans. Look how it worked out for the Republicans. So maybe now having, you know, extending these term limits is going to be the only way that Republicans could hold on to power in a rapidly changing Orange County. But again, Wagner's opposed to it. A lot of the grassroots conservatives in Orange County is opposed to it. So if Bartlett wants more support for her proposal, she's going to have to make a bigger argument than saying, like, hey, I just want another term.
Well, the argument is, you know, obviously it's going to take sometimes more than two terms for somebody to get the ropes, right? Like to understand the county politics, to do what they were elected to do, right? That sometimes two terms, 8 years, isn't enough time.
Oh, if only we all had a probation period of 4 years, Steve. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Sorry, politicians. You got to learn the ropes. You know, give the rest of us in the real world, we get 3 months before our employers say A or nay. We as voters, we give you 4 years. So I've never bought that argument. Anyone who pushes for term limits or, you know, for the extension of term limits, our politicians just want more time. They want more time to have fun at our expense.
You've been on KCRW for 8 years, Gustavo, but we're not term limiting.
I hope I passed it. I hope I finally passed my probation.
You passed, Gustavo. Columnist at the LA Times, of course, a greater LA regular. Gustavo Arellano, thanks.
Gracias.
That's it for today. Tomorrow, tried to hail an Uber or Lyft lately, especially to or from the airport? Oh, my goodness. Plus, Britney Spears gets her day in court after years of ups and downs. That's tomorrow on the program. We're online, kcrw.com/greaterLA. You can tell us what you're thinking, share some story ideas. Of course, subscribe to the podcast, too. All at our website, kcrw.com/greaterLA. Jenna Cagle, Catherine Barnes, Sonia Geis, Ray Guarna, Mario Saavedra, Phil Richards, Amy Ta, Lorenzo Ponce de Leon, and Christian Bordahl gave us their time and elbow grease for today's show. Thank you for your ears and attention this evening. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have yourself a great Monday night.